Yes, as far as we know.
Morning. Happy New Year to you all.
Yeah.
Welcome. It's good to be together. Yes. Yeah. I just want to start with this one verse, the words of Jesus, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for the availability, the promise, the assurance of abundant life. Father, whatever has gone on, whatever has gone before, whatever is to come, Father, may we stand firmly and joyfully and assuredly on the promise of abundant life in you, Jesus. And may we celebrate that this morning, Lord. So Holy Spirit, we ask you here, we invite you here, and we just put your name above everything. We ask you, Lord, to have your way. Open our hearts, Lord, open our minds to the things that you have for us. And Lord, we're thankful for all that you have accomplished. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Dan,
over to you.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For his good is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing and praise. His love endures forever. For the life that's pure and born, His love endures forever. Sing and praise, sing and praise, sing and praise, sing and praise.
Forever.
Who can fathom the depth of your love? Wait.
crest of every mountain. Your hands brought the mysteries of the day. Who has made the earth on its foundation? Who conducts the waves upon the sea? Jesus.
Thanks, Ben. Good job. Okay. Children's groups are up to dance, Stephen, so good job. Children, follow the Pied Piper. Come on. Bless those children, Father, and the leaders of those groups this morning, Father. Lord, we just declare your favour and your protection over every single one of them, Lord. Father, we ask that you would guard their hearts and guard their minds, Lord. Father, we just ask that they would grow to love and serve you well and faithfully, Lord. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so got some notices. Tom, you want to? Yeah?
So, Christmas is over. So, we have a nurse for imitation tree, about 7 foot high. You might see a picture of it going up. We're giving this tree away. It's blessed us, but we want it to bless maybe a young family or whoever that might want it. So, we're giving the tree away. It's 7 foot tall. It's good. It's in good condition, and we're giving that away with all the lights and the baubles as well. So if you know a family that would appreciate something like that, or maybe a home or something, just let us know. Come and see us after church and we'll arrange to bring it down here and exchange it for you. Okay, thanks very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Okay, there's just one more notice as well. The elders are hoping to organise a baptism service. We're in discussions at the moment, just waiting for a date to be confirmed with the Baptist Church in the centre of town there. It's likely to be in February, but if you're interested at all, can I encourage you to speak to Alan, to myself, or to George about that. All right.
That's a
word, that was, eh?
Yeah.
Quite profound, that. Yeah. Okay. Come on, Alan. Let's pray for you. Father God, we just thank you for Alan, Lord. We thank you for his wisdom. Thank you for his faithfulness and his obedience and his diligence. We thank you for his love for you, Lord. Father, open our hearts and minds to the things that you have for us through what you've given Alan. Amen.
Well, I need to use this, but I've got a Madonna mic on today so I can walk around. Thank you to everybody who shared. I can almost just about sit down because what you said is almost perfectly in line with what God's given me to share today. Let's see how it all fits together. Well, we just had Christmas, haven't we? I know it seems like a distant memory, but can you remember when the angel came to Mary? And the angel came along and he said to Mary, you're going to have a baby. And Mary said, well, I don't think so. Mary was a teenager. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have a relationship with a man. And, but no, the angel said, yeah, this is going to happen. And he also said, your cousin Elizabeth, who was married to Zacharias, but they hadn't been able to have a family, he told her she's already pregnant. And do you know what the angel actually said? The angel actually said, there we go. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, do you get a tense of that? It's not present. It's not saying for with God, nothing is impossible, because that means that was just in that moment. It's far more powerful than that. With God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing that's coming down the line to be sorted out will be impossible. Now, some stuff might look impossible to us this year. Some stuff might do. But with God, nothing will be impossible. Because we've got short time today, I'm going to talk about two impossible situations from the scriptures. And the first one is a guy called Jeremiah. Okay, if you go back to about 586 BC, I wasn't around then, but Jerusalem was being besieged by the Babylonians and they were pretty keen to get in there. They were building a siege ramp and everything. And Jeremiah was the only prophet who said to the king Zedekiah, they're going to come into the city and you need to surrender. Because if you don't surrender, they're going to burn it down and they're going to kill you all. All the other prophets were going, no, it'll be all right, God will look after you. But Jeremiah said this, and Zedekiah, the king, didn't like that at all. Stuck him in jail. So there's Jeremiah in jail, and he gets a message from God to say, I want you to buy this field that's available to you. Okay, the land, the entire country is occupied by enemies. The city, the capital city, is being besieged. There's no food. And yet God tells Jeremiah to buy a field that's already got a Babylonian army camped on it. So Jeremiah does this. He buys the field. And it's a prophetic sign that despite what's coming, that fields and property will again be sold in Jerusalem after Israel, Judah, returns. But there's Jeremiah in jail in a city that's surrounded by an occupying army with nothing to eat and in the king's bad books. And he says to God, well, This looks pretty impossible to me. And he prays. He prays to God to ask him what's going on. Now, if it was me, I would probably go, God, this has happened, this has happened, this has happened, and I've done all what you said, but honestly, do you really mean it? And this is what Jeremiah said. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. He starts his prayer in the middle of this impossible situation by focusing on the greatness and the power, the awesomeness of God Almighty. Focusing on his God, not on the problem. And God replies. And God says, that was great. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Now that question can be taken in two ways, can't it? It could be rhetorical, you know, you don't have to answer it. But actually, I think he was saying to Jeremiah, yeah, you started your prayer like that, do you really mean it? Do you really think that anything is too difficult for me? If we're honest, if I'm honest, I always have some unbelief. Yeah? I look at a situation sometimes that I'm praying into, and there have been many that I've gone, honestly, I'm not sure. And I think if we're all honest, we've all been in those types of circumstances. Do you really believe nothing is too difficult for me? Says God. So let's go back to about 1425 BC, where Moses is talking to the people. They're ready to enter the promised land, and it's full of seven powerful nations who have massive armies, fortified cities, and they're all trained troops. And these guys have been in the wilderness for 40 years, the Israelites. They're not trained. All the people that defeated the enemies in the battles before are dead. They don't have anything that is going to give them a victory in the physical sense. It all looks impossible. And this is what Moses says to them. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. So that is the key to unbelief. Think about what God has done in the past. John shared about 60 years of marriage. Imagine the heritage there of all the great things that God has done. We've all got that. Whether you're a Christian that's a day old or you're a Christian who's been a Christian for 90 years, you can look back on what God has done. And if you say in your heart, this situation's too great for me, how can I deal with it? Look back at what God's already achieved for you in your life. Don't focus on the situation. Focus on God. Peter gave a fantastic ring. Thank you, Peter. God's got his hand under the bridge. Yeah? You get that?
Sometimes you feel looking down. Oh.
God's got his hand under the bridge. But you know what God says here? Yeah, there are seven nations in this country. I'm not going to lead you into defeating them all at once. Yes. The Lord your God, this is what Moses said, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. Little by little, you'll be unable to destroy them all at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. And this principle is for us today. It's not to deal with the situation in one big lump. It's to do it step by step by step as God leads us on. Peter's words said, let me set the pace. That's what God says to us. Don't rush ahead. Don't try to do it all at once. Wait for his timing and his equipment. So let's not focus on the situations that might seem impossible. Let's focus on what God's already done. Let's face it, if God can save us, what greater miracle is there than that? God saved you and me from sin and death and hell. Whatever else comes along is easy compared with that. Ray said, your dad's here. He's sorting things out. If it looks impossible, you can be sure that your God is working on it. John said, will it give you life? Will it lead you into life? Weigh what God is calling you to do. Sometimes we think we have to do something. Sometimes we look at a situation and we're not sure that it's God's will. Part of what Peter said was that if you're called, I mean, following God's will, then he will make it happen. If you're not sure what God's will is, we all have it in here. If you're still not sure, please pray. Pray with people who you trust. Pray with wise Christians. I want to finish with this word, which I believe is for us today. My children, you are entering a time of refreshing that heralds a new outpouring of my gifts, blessings, and grace. If you focus on the physical aspects of life, you will miss this because it is spiritually discerned. If you focus on me, says the Lord, I will lead you. Step by step, I will bring you into all that I have for you. I am the God who calls those things that are not as though they were. I spoke into being all of creation. I am your strength and your shield. Nothing can stand against me. So set your faces as flint, looking to me and to me alone. Do not be ashamed or confounded. I am your all in all. What a good God we have. What a good God we have. Somebody walked into this building coming up the stairs today and they had a pain in their left hip. Please come and receive prayer. Receive prayer from somebody that you trust for that. There's also somebody who has a pain in their right temple. You know, when God gives these signs, these words of knowledge, it's to emphasize what he's saying that it's true. If you have that pain, I pray for that. God's here to heal. Again, there's somebody with on their left foot, the toe next to the big toe on their left foot. There's pain there. There's an issue with that. And also somebody has a lower right back pain. Several people are very sad. Several people are crying out to God because of a circumstance, because of just something within them that's making them really sad. But you're holding back. You don't want to bring the whole reason for the sadness to you. just in the quietness now, just bring that. Trust him. Your dad is here. Bring that sadness to him. Lord, would you pour out your joy? Would you bind up the brokenhearted? Would you let us focus on you? Not on what the problem is, not on what's hurt us, but on you and on your healing. Tears may last for a night, but the joy comes in the morning. And it's morning. Would you receive the joy of the Lord? Would you receive his wholeness, his peace? Somebody here also has a gastric issue, digestive issue. Let's focus on our Lord. Our Lord is the healer. Our Lord is the bringer of all good things. He is here that we may have life and have it in all its fullness. If you're not a Christian, if you're here today and you don't know quite what we're talking about, that presence that you can feel in this room now, that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's God here in his spirit. He's reaching out to you and he's saying to you, you need to come home to me. I'm your dad. You need to come home to me. I love you. I died for you. To pay the price for all the things that you've done wrong and to set you free. And I came back from death. I rose again from the dead so that you can have new life.
Alan.
So I encourage those of you who those words of knowledge you are for. Out to receive them, not to be reluctant or hesitant. But to receive what God has for you this morning. It's part of the abundant life he's promised you. So don't be reluctant or hesitant. you, Lord. Okay. There's a real sense of peace, I think, this morning. Sort of reluctance to break that up, really. So I think we should just, maybe for a moment or two, if I step away just from here, to have that time of just reflection, some contemplation, some time for reflecting on what's been shared this morning, maybe. Just in a moment or two.